Well, good morning. We're going to continue on with our in a series of messages on unlimiting God. And of course, this particular series, as I've said before, and the preceding messages have come out of the book Unlimiting God by Richard Blackaby. And today's message is entitled Help My Unbelief. Help My Unbelief. Because our belief in God, our trust in God, the level of our belief in God can impact not only us, but those we pray for. And so with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for each one here. I thank you, dear Holy Spirit, that you are here, that you are the one that not only I can depend on, but all of us can depend on to do your work and to help us to be the men and women, the boys and girls, the youth that you would have us to be in you. And I pray that you would, if you will, envelop the message, that you will just take hold of it and carry it with such clarity. I pray, dear Holy Spirit, that you will continue to work in our lives in a way that with transforming power, that we recognize our own hearts specifically being changed, whether it be that gradual change or dramatic change, but that we are continually seeing your hands molding us and changing us and making us into what you would have us to be. So as we look at this message today, and we look at that title, Father, Help Our Unbelief, that we might have the belief, the faith, and all the power that you are in our lives for your glory and for your praise. In Jesus' name, amen. In the Gospels, there was recorded a troubling moment when the disciples of Jesus reached the limit of God's power. And that's kind of strange. When the disciples went out with power and authority, they went out doing God's work. But in that, they came to a stump. They came to a block. They came to a situation that they didn't see the power of God working the way they expected. In fact, they didn't even see God's power work in this particular area of ministry, public ministry. And their ministry, as I said, had begun well. And they were involved in casting out evil spirits, you know, setting people free from demonic possession. And that's pretty powerful, wouldn't you say? And they had great success, but this particular time, they ran into a block. And so in Mark 6:7, it says, "And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits." Now, I want us to remember that as we look at this, don't look at this just as a historical event. But we need to understand that God sends us out in power. Acts 1:8 tells us that. We go out in the power and authority. Sometimes God sends us out in pairs to go out and to witness for him. That is a biblical standard. So God's power can liberate people from illness, demon possession, fear, pride, anger, any bondage sin brings. And when Jesus sent his disciples out two by two throughout the countryside, it was to set people free. There's a liberty there, is there not? A freedom. We gain a freedom in our relationship with Jesus that the world cannot understand. And again, we don't fully understand what was paid for us to have that privilege of that freedom. As they went out power, they went out enthusiastically, they went out in the name of Jesus, they went out and were extremely successful. Remember even getting bit by poisonous snakes. They didn't die from it. They were kind of invincible, but again, they came up to a place that knocked them down a little bit. In Mark 6:13, it says, "And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them." And so here they are healing people, healing of sickness, blindness, crippledness, all sorts of things. In fact, the Bible tells us that if all the things that God had done could be recorded, the world wouldn't be able to contain all the books that were written about it. That's just Jesus. What about the power of Jesus working through his disciples? And so there's tremendous things that were done that we don't even know about. And they preached the gospel. They saw many repent of sin. And then later when Peter, James, and John were at the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, there's a desperate father who brought his son to the other nine disciples. And he's begging them. He's heard about their power. He's heard about what God has done through them. He said, "Here's my hope. Here's my opportunity." And he brings his son to him. to those other disciples, but they couldn't handle the situation. They couldn't correct, they couldn't heal, they couldn't deliver, they couldn't set this son free from all that he was going through. They did not have the power that was needed, or they didn't grab the power that was provided, I should say, to be successful in setting this boy free. And yet they'd done it many times before. So let's look at Mark 9:14, which says, "And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What are you discussing with them?' Then one of the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit,'" couldn't speak, right? "'And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not.' He answered him and said, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me.'" They had already been commissioned. They had already been empowered. They already had everything they needed to be able to accomplish the work to deliver this kid from what he was going through. Obviously, he was demon-possessed. Obviously, he was absolutely controlled by this. And yet they had had other situations where they were setting people free from these things. For this boy, they couldn't do it. And so the thing that Jesus said, "O faithless generation," didn't he? He told them, "You're not faithful enough." Now, I've said it before, I'll say it again, that our faith does not manipulate God's hand, but God expects our faith to be great in him. Okay? Just because our faith is great in God doesn't mean that we force God's hand into what we need or what we want. But we have to have the faith to know that God can do it and to truly believe that. And so Jesus reprimanded this group, especially the disciples, said, "Oh, faithless," you know, he reprimanded them for their faithlessness, didn't he? "You're not having faith enough." How many of us desire more faith? How many of us would like to be powerhouses of faith? Faith comes by hearing, right? The Word of God. And all the different virtues of our relationship with God come through different things. Patience comes through tribulation and so forth. And so to have faith is to have that experience with God, to know the power of God and the evidence of that power in our lives, working through our lives for him and his glory. But we've acknowledged that it's his power that we're dependent upon. So Jesus promptly, after he told him, "O faithless generation that you are," he set the boy free. And then later in private, he talked to his disciples because his disciples were a little distressed, a little bit disturbed. "Why couldn't we help this boy? Why couldn't we help this kid? Why couldn't we see him set free from what he was going through?" And so Jesus told him, he said, "This kind," in Mark 9:29, says, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." So there are times in our lives when we're going to face situations that are so difficult that we might consider for ourselves, for yourself and your situation in your life or my life, that as we're confronted with something that is so overwhelming or even so out of our hands, so out of our control, yet so needed to be dealt with, that we might consider, you know what, this is a time to go into prayer and fasting. And that whole focus of fasting is that we spend more time in prayer with God. The whole focus is that we take our eyes off of our physical needs and we put our eyes on the need of that surrendered prayer time to God. But we have to understand that prayer and fasting is empowering, because we meet with God in such intensity through prayer and fasting, when we pursue that with a genuine heart, that God reveals not only insight to us, but he also helps us to realize the power of himself within us. You know, it gives a resolve, you know, Don't worry, you know, I'm your father. It could be as simple as that. I'll take care of that. And then your faith is confident. God's already told me this is what he's going to do. And so we can gain those insights that we need, but we have to be willing to make the effort to pray and fast as we see God leading us to do so. And so Jesus was declaring that this particular situation was indeed difficult, but not impossible, right? Not impossible. I'm grateful for Jesus' acknowledgement that some situations are more challenging than others. Have you ever thought about that? I'm thankful for the more challenging situations. I'm going through some things right now that are extremely challenging. And I thank the Lord in this respect that I said, Lord, the scripture says, be thankful and then make your request known to God. So knowing that God is doing his work, knowing that God is, Romans 8:28, works all things for the good of those who love him, are called according to his purpose. Knowing that David said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Knowing these things, that and that thankfulness to him through that time of meeting with him and the problems that we see and the answers that we seek, that we can thank God for what he's doing through our lives, because in actuality, that can be very, very exciting. The challenge can be very exciting if we have the proper focus through the challenge. If we allow the challenge to defeat us, then we may miss the mark that God wants to reveal to us. But we hang on to God with a thankful heart through the challenge, then we will find the blessing of seeing the wonderful work that God wants to do through it that'll bring him glory. So it's exciting. The challenges can be very exciting yet overwhelming at the same time. It's a paradox. So some have taught the belief that everything in the Christian life is easy if you have sufficient faith. You ever hear that before? You know, you just didn't have enough faith. That's why it didn't happen. Well, that's not, again, you can't force the hand of God by our faith. But we should have full confidence by faith in God and his power in our lives. So Jesus recognized that some kinds of bondage can be overcome only through prayer and fasting. And so sometimes we need to consider that. I know I can afford missing a lunch sometime or dinner. But even cutting out activities for the sake of setting aside that time to spend with God in prayer. And so the event revealed, this event that the disciples were going through, this event revealed what the disciples had not been doing. What was it the disciples, why couldn't they deliver this man's boy from demon possession? In this particular situation, when they saw they weren't getting anywhere like they had done in the powerful ministry that they were already being used for beforehand, they should have come to think, we need to pray and fast. We need to take some time apart with God in order to gain the victory over this challenge, if you will, of delivering this boy. And we need to do the same in our own lives. We need to say that whatever challenges there are, maybe we need to consider to do the same. And so, as Jesus recommended fasting involves setting aside normal routines and focusing on God and his answer for your situation. It entails sacrifice. Sometimes you think fasting, oh, it's just a meal, like I said before, but fasting is Xing out something in our schedule, if you will, for the sake of focusing on him as well. And then in that sacrifice and focusing on him and setting aside that time, then we can find an answer from God. Some have said, Was it not Isaiah who wrestled with God? He said, I am not letting go of you till I get your blessing. And so there are some times in our prayer time that we have to say, I am not giving up until I get an answer from you. And that's intense intention and sacrifice. So the disciples' problem was that they believed they'd encountered a problem, get this, too difficult for God's power. Now that's scary. But we can say, shame on you, disciples, to come to such a conclusion that you've said that God's power can't deliver this boy. But what about us? Do we ever have things hit us that are so big that we figure, oh, God's not going to take care of that, it's impossible? I mean, we have to be honest about that, don't we? We have to say, you know what, there are times in our lives where we figure God's not going to take care of that because logically it just can't be taken, it can't be fixed. But God can do whatever he chooses to do. And the disciples had given up, and we give up on people. We give up on circumstances. Had a lady years ago who prayed that her husband would come to church with her. He'd get saved and come to church with her. She prayed for the whole time I was pastoring at that church. Shortly after we left, she let us know that my husband got saved and is coming to church and sitting beside me every Sunday. But she prayed for about 9 years. We weren't there 9 years, but she prayed 9 years. And the point is, don't give up. The other point is, he didn't do it because I left. Okay? But don't give up. Keep praying, because God's power is all powerful. You have a loved one that's lost? Don't give up on praying. You have someone's health situation? Don't give up on praying. Let God do what he's going to do, but don't give up. And so the disciples had given up. They figured that it was a hopeless situation, and they were embarrassed. Their pride was harmed because they couldn't accomplish what they thought they could do. And so instead of their persevering in the efforts to free this young boy, they became what? Embroiled in an argument with the scribes. And they began to defend themselves to the religious leaders of the day in order to keep their tarnished reputations from becoming more tarnished. And their mind. They were embarrassed. And I'm going to defend myself. And I'm going to do all I can. They got engaged in that when Jesus was coming down and saw the situation. Their failure to heal the boy implied that some cases were too difficult even for God. Let's put it another way. The disciples believed that there was a limit to what God's power could do. We have to remember that's not true. Even though they had just previously witnessed, get this, if you read in Mark, I believe it's chapter 5, where Jesus had calmed the wind and the sea. He had authority over nature, calmed the wind and the sea. What happened when he got onto the seashore of the Gadazarenes and the naked man that was roaming in the cemetery, and he had broken chains on him, and he had been cutting himself, and the community couldn't contain him, and he was just a threat, and they gave up on him. But Jesus delivered him from what man could not be delivered from, what man couldn't deliver him from. The disciples had witnessed that. And yet now they come up to the situation with this boy and they say, well, God, I guess God can't do this. His power's not able to do this. Isn't that crazy? That we as human beings in our flesh can have these incredible moments with God and witnessing his power and what he can do, and then come to something else and say, I guess God can't do that. That's a little bit of, I want to call, spiritual insanity. Okay? Because we have to understand that God is consistent in his power. And so they might have come to the conclusion that was the reality. That they hit that stump. God can't do anything here for us. And we have to understand that that's not true. And we need to understand that when we hit those spots where no matter what we do, we can't get through. No matter what we do, we can't resolve. Know that God is fully aware. Know that God can fully do. Know that God has his absolute purpose and plan and timing in place. And know that he honors our faithfulness as we continue in that faithfulness to trust him. I was thinking about Mary and Martha when Lazarus was buried. And was it Martha or was it Mary that at Jesus' feet, Mary, I think, that said, I know that you can raise him up. She believed in the resurrection. I know that you can raise him up. There was a faith there that didn't force the hand of Jesus, but that Jesus saw that said, and it was his will to demonstrate his power. And he honored that and rose Lazarus from the dead. And so, by contrast, okay, let's look at what Jesus said in Mark 9, 20 through 27. Then they brought him to him, the boy, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he was thrown him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to a deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. What did Jesus say in verse 23? Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Relies on, trusts on, right? And the father's response, look at this, is that immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, broken heart, genuine of heart, Lord, I believe, but, he said, help my unbelief. Have you ever been in prayer with God to where you acknowledge, back of your head, in your conscience, you're going, I know what I'm praying, I know what I'm asking, but I'm not really buying into what I'm asking. I'm not really believing the possibility. I'm not really, it's just a good thing to pray, I know it's right, I know it's what God wants to hear, but is it? Because in the back of our mind, in the depth of our heart, if we're questioning that, and we're saying, well, I really don't believe that can happen, but I'm going to try to smother that thought, then we're doing something that inhibits our prayer life. But if we were honest and say, God, I'm struggling with this. I know what you want me to pray. I know what you want me to believe, but I'm having a difficult time buying into it. I'm having a difficult time praying this. I'm having a difficult time believing that this can be taken care of by you. And just be honest. Who are we kidding? If we're not honest, you think God doesn't know it? Somehow it's a weird dynamic psychologically, isn't it? Oh, our fool God, he doesn't know that. That's how I feel. But God wants us to lay it out on the table, plain as day. And he wants us to say, God, I'm having trouble here. I'm doubting. Give me faith. Build my faith. And that's what pleased Jesus here with this man. That he was willing to say, I believe, but it's not enough faith. And I need you to give me that extra faith. And so, as the father had that some faith, he realized that he hadn't had the level of faith that God wanted the seed to work through him miraculously to heal his son or to deliver his son's life. And there was a limit to the man's belief in what God could do. We're there too at times. When this man heard Jesus' response, he didn't offer any excuses, right? He didn't complain about the failure of Jesus' disciples. Psychology, what? It's displacement. It's their fault that I don't have enough belief. No, it's your fault that you don't have enough belief. You know what I'm saying? And so instead of pointing the finger, he should be looking at himself. He didn't offer excuses. He didn't complain, again, about Jesus' disciples. Instead, he pleaded with Jesus to raise the level of his own faith to a place where God would be pleased to set his son free. I want to underscore what I've said already. If you have someone that you're praying for salvation, praying for to come to know Christ, to grow in Christ, to be committed in Christ, directing to walk on the right path with Christ, whatever it is, do not give up on your husband, your son, your mother, your father, children, your friends. Do not give up, is what God is telling us. Do not go, it's done. God can't take care of it. I've done everything possible. It's done. No, it's not. God isn't done God can do what he wants, and God responds to our faithful prayers. Do not give up in that prayer for that individual or those individuals. So for, in a sense, listen to this, the limit to the Father's faith has been costing the Son his freedom. You catch that a little bit? The Father's saying, I believe, but I don't have enough faith. Give me what I need to have the proper faith that you respond accordingly. Interesting twist, isn't it? Because that's what he was saying. I believe, but give me enough faith. There was a springboard to the level of faith that affected the effectiveness of the Father's faith on other people's lives. Our faith, or the lack of faith, either way affects the power of our prayer life on those that we're praying for. It comes to us. So if you want a more powerful prayer life, ask God for more faith in you. So when you pray with confidence, you pray with clarity, you pray with boldness, you pray with the absolute of coming before God and say, God, I know I can lay this down for you this way, and you have that full faith, and you don't have that gnawing thought in the back of your head. You don't believe that. You don't think that's going to happen. Oh, it's just the way it is. Blah, blah, blah. You can go, boom, there it is. God, take care of this. And then you know in your spirit that God has already affirmed, don't worry, it's going to be taken care of. You're seeing me resolve that. And see, that's contingent upon our faith, and that's an example that was here. So in a sense, the limit to the Father's faith had been costing the Son his freedom. And then there's a question. Could it be that the limits of your faith have been costing others around you? That's a scary thought. I'll be honest with you. When I first thought about that, I'm thinking, you mean my lack of faith in you, my willingness to pursue that, which enables me to grow in faith, my lack of faith is affecting those I'm praying for? I mean, isn't it faith? Look at it this way. Have we ever seen the results of our faithful prayers? If we hadn't prayed them, we wouldn't see them, right? The results, the positive results. Have we ever prayed by faith and seen it happen? Okay, so we have more faith, we pray even bolder, and we see greater things. And yet not forcing the hand of God, but realizing that God says, you need to have the faith to believe in what? My power. Don't dismantle my power by your own logic. But hold it up. Hold it up. As a husband and a father and a pastor, obviously, I don't want the lack of my own relief to prevent those that I'm praying for to be delivered from whatever or to come to God, okay? And so we all need to pray on a regular basis along with the same lines of the Father. Father, I need more faith. I don't want to have a defeated attitude about this. I want more faith. You see, when we have that faith and we don't feel defeated, that is a freedom and a liberty in Christ. That freedom and liberty was given to us and expected for us to experience in our life in Christ. And so we can praise God for that. Lord, I do have faith in you, but raise my faith in you to a higher level so those I pray for and minister to can experience your power in an even greater degree. You ever put another point on this? We'll wrap this up. It's 12. If you ever had met a Christian person and you see the closeness they have with God, and you seem to have heard or you have heard the effect of their prayer life is great, and you go, man, I know you're a solid Christian, I know you're on fire for God, and I know your prayer life is powerful, will you please pray for me? Why? Because we're hoping, because their faith is so great, that it'll have a great effect in prayer. Guess what? If that be the case, it is. Their faith is great. But we have that same opportunity to have that faith, the boldness, and witness to others that, man, you're a prayer house. Your prayer life is amazing. I mean, you pray and there's power. You pray and there's effect. You pray and things happen. It's the level of our faith in God's power. It's not drawing in for ourselves, but saying, God, you are who you are, and buying into who he is. He can do anything, and we can rely on that. And so, again, Lord, I do have faith in you, but raise my faith in you to a higher level so those I pray for and minister to can experience your power in an even greater degree. And so what do we learn from this? God gives to us according to our faith. Not the hand that manipulates God, but God responds to the level of our faith as well. And if we want our prayers to be effective not only in our lives, but effective for the lives of those we're praying for, pray to God, help me to have more faith in you and your power. That'll be liberating. That'll be freeing on a spiritual level. And sometimes it takes prayer and fasting. So it's easy for us to believe God for the generalities, and it's much harder to believe God for the specifics. We can believe God for what he's done, that he's all-powerful, he's omnipotent. That's a general belief, right? But what about, can we believe that God can heal this demon-possessed boy? Can we believe that my husband will come to church? Can we believe that my parents or my brothers or someone in my family will come to know Jesus as their Savior? Can we believe that? Because of our faith in him. That's that general specific prayer. It's the generalities are easy to have faith in. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe that there's power in the blood. Now when it comes to the specific, oh, I'm relying on the very power of God to take care of this situation. It's a whole new challenge of faith because it's more specific. And so the disciples at that time had believed God in general, but they failed to trust him for the specific situation they were facing. And likewise, it's easy for us to praise God for his power and his love during a Sunday worship service. It's quite another thing to trust that power and love as we head into our week filled with all the trials we face. When we're willing to trust God with the things that are specific before us, then we're building our faith in him. And that's what we need to do. So here's a question. Have you set a limit on what you believe God can do in your life? I mean, I never thought my mom would be saved, but when I found out in her will that she received Christ, that was awesome. Especially after she told me, I guess I'm dying and going to hell because I don't believe in Jesus. But there was also others that I prayed for that it's a choice by them. God doesn't force. But at the same time, God expects us to keep the faith. I would never have my faith in praying for my mom's salvation. I probably thought was done and over. She's dead and waiting for final judgment in hell. But when I read the will, after the fact, the answer was there. How cool is that? And so never give up on your faith in God's power. So real quickly, here are several ways to tell if we're limiting God's power in our life. Have you given up on someone or yourself? Do you have a constant struggle, sinful habit, ungodly attitude, or area of defeat in your life? Does your painful past keep causing you heartache? Have you prayed regularly for another person's salvation, but after witnessing an invitation and inviting them to church without result, you gave up and began focusing on someone else? Does someone you know live a destructive lifestyle, and you have prayed for them and pleaded with them, and yet they persist in their sin? After years of frustration, you gave up on them? Don't. Don't give up in the power of God. Unlimit those barriers. And ask God, God, I need the faith. Rather than giving up on you, I need the faith to pray with that much more power. So, today when we go home, Just focus on this fact and ask God to help our unbelief. Let's unlimit God in our lives by increasing our faith in Him and what He can do. Amen? It's as simple as that. God, give me the faith I need. Unlimit those barriers I've placed. And let me see you work your way. Just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for the fact that you give us these examples in Scripture. I'm thankful for the challenge that you give us to be faithful and to be humble and to seek you with, in all honesty, even when it comes to our lack of faith. To resolve to trust in your will and your plan and your purpose and to give you thanks for it. And I thank you that you, dear Holy Spirit, are in our hearts as believers in Christ. I'm thankful that you take your word and you help people to hear it and to receive it. And in that receiving of whatever new that they receive of you, that it etches away in that transformational work that you're doing in each of our lives. So I praise you for that. Help us today to not just thank you for the liberty that we have as Americans, it's the greatest of any country in the world, but let us thank you also as Christians for the liberty and freedom we have in the power of God. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.